we're going to talk about, let's see, item 3A. Todd, you're going to come up. And we might as well just cover OSU Extension 4-H and this at the same time. So let's talk about the Ken Nelson auto sale. And I'm going to start with a question I think you probably know already, and that's in the draft that you gave us dated August 10th, you have $10,000 item for the Nissan offsite sale. And my only question is, since I think as a fair board, we would be asked this question by the public, does any of that money go towards the maintenance of the grounds?
Sure.
So I'll let you.
And it makes no difference to me whatsoever. The initial contact just came to me, and I tried to refer that back to Amy, and that bounced around for a while. I'm happy to manage it. We've always sort of included the power offsite sale as fair revenue. But again, you'll see in my numbers, the fair is solvent. We don't need that, but it seemed appropriate to me if we're going to manage it to use that as fair revenue. But again, we don't take that. The extension, all of that stays with the county. And you'll see in my presentation about the P&L for the fair, we're flush. So either way, whether that money gets expended, whether that money gets line itemed as fair revenue or line itemed as county revenue, you guys still have it.
It's just a question of which bucket it ends up in, really.
Well, but when I read it, maybe I made a false assumption. I just assumed the $10,000 was going in the bucket to be distributed to the smaller buckets, if you will, as appropriate, that there wasn't, you know, somehow separate and a separate issue. I figured it was just going to be a contribution to the overall effort. And maybe
I just wanted to be sure.
Can I suggest maybe as a way to deal with this? Is I always, and with Christie's assistance, we have to do our reports annually to the state. And so we will need to actually allocate a portion or all of this to the fair. In one way, shape, or form, we're going to have to deal with that. But I can go back and look at what we've got. And again, we also look at it the way it comes into the entire fund. That's it's in the fair fund, which includes both the facilities and the fair event. But let me come back to you and make some recommendations based on where we stand. Kind of, we're getting to the point where we're getting the audit coming up to, which is important to know where we stand with everything else, and make some recommendations to you as to how we actually allocate it.
Okay.
Just note for the time being.
Yeah, my only concern was the precedent it sets, and that we're clear that that's all negotiable in the future, obviously.
Yeah.
But since you're helping to manage the fairgrounds, why shouldn't you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. You know? That's part of the arrangement we've got anyway, so that's great.
And I guess maybe just to back up the overall conversation, the fair has shown a profit year over year, every single year.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never taken any of that money. That's all just gone back into either the fair line item or the county. That doesn't come back to OSU in any way other than as we need staffing or other expenditures, we expend against that.
Okay.
But it's not like the net income that I show on this P&L becomes a check written to OSU Extension. It's still in your account. It's still your money.
And it's important to note from year to year, we've actually been increasing the amount of budget for the fair.
Right.
And again, I just made the assumption, maybe incorrectly, that it didn't matter whether it went in the right pocket or left pocket. It was going in the pocket for the fairgrounds and the fair and the maintenance.
So to distinguish this item 3A, do we have any specific motion to make on that?
Because this came up before our last meeting, and I know that you're ready to do it, I'd like a motion to ratify the decision to go forward with the project.
This is the
auto sale?
This is the Kiefer.
That's what I was trying to
do. And I don't have the contract in front of me, but I think I have the dates to simplify this.
That's fine.
Just a moment.
I don't know if we even need that. Just for the motion, I move that we officially ratify the consensus reached by email to allow use of the commons for the Kiefer Nissan auto sale.
With the provision that the receipts will go in or be allocated appropriately amongst the a decision to be made later amongst the various fair things.
I accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. I'll second.
Okay. Christy, is that clear?
Yes.
Okay. And did you want to add the dates?
August 29th through September 10th.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion on that? If not, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous.
And I will only add that I have forwarded them the contract. They are right now finishing signing the contract and getting their insurance paperwork together. I expect we'll have that this coming week sometime.
Okay. Roger will take care of that stuff and work with us to get it together.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's go to your OSU Extension 4-H update.
Okay, the numbers look good. This is still a draft. We have a couple of numbers that are still coming in, a couple of payments that we're still making, but things overall for 2018 look very, very good. A couple of highlights. I do this P&L for you guys every single year. A couple of interesting highlights to note. Our income was slightly less, about 14% less, due in large part to me running it solo, really not having Michelle, and I didn't have time to go out and solicit the way that we had for donations and sponsorship in the past. So last year I think we had about $19,000 in that first line donations and sponsorships. This year it was $15,400, so slightly down. We are significantly up in our vendor fees. That's due in large part to the increased number of vendors that we had, as well as adding things like stunt jump and zip line. We're 61% up in revenue collection from the vendors. That's that second and third green highlighted section there. And that was notable. We also did rent one section of bleachers again to Benton County, so that brought in another $900 against that big expenditure that you made two years ago now. Entertainment is way down, and the reason being that we didn't pay for the Monster Truck Show this year. We didn't collect the revenue from it either, but Newport Pawn and Precision Auto managed that entire event. So instead of $18,000 in entertainment expenses, we only have $5,000. And that had always been pretty much a wash anyway. In fact, last year I think Monster Trucks cost us about $200. So this year it didn't cost us a thing, but we didn't have to manage any of it either. Services are slightly down. That's the second blue line there, and that's due in large part to not trying to prepare for the solar eclipse and not knowing what was going on. So we didn't get excess toilets. We didn't rent an ice machine, that sort of thing. We also found a new ATM vendor that didn't charge us. Passed through that charge to the user, so we didn't have an expense on the ATM machine. If you look at the bottom line, our total income, if you want to include the Nissan offsite sale, is $51,000. It'd be $41,000 if we don't include that. Our total expenditures are about $20,000, meaning our net income with the keeper sale is $31,000, making it our most profitable fair ever. If we take out that Nissan sale, of course, it's $21,000, which is still higher than what we've had previously. So all things considered, I'm very, very pleased with the numbers and happy with the direction that things are going. I mentioned last month that I'm considering doing a four-day fair to include 4th of July next year. I'm still getting feedback from the vendors, but I think that's very, very possible, and I think that extra day will help.
And just to, along those lines, and I don't know why I didn't think about this last month when we talked about this a little bit, but just a notation that first day would be the 4th of July.
Correct.
The one thing you need to start the conversation now, because the one thing
City of Newport.
I don't think the city's going to want to close Harney Street on the 4th of July. I just can't imagine them wanting to do that.
Okay.
Especially because they have their big event down in the Bayfront, and people exit it out of there. Exit is right out of there. So I'm not sure that they would be willing to close on the 4th itself. So even if you have a four-day event, it may have to be arranged in such a way that, you know, so I think it's going to be a little bit of an issue because it's on the 4th. But that at least have that, you need to start that conversation with the city now.
But I'd remind you that under the agreement, we have the right to close Harney for the fair. That doesn't mean I want to enter into some kind of piggy fight with the city or anything over this. We need to work with them, definitely.
But and luckily, the agreement is written such a way that it says in July. You know, then last year they gave us in August, even though we moved it to, or 2 years ago, whatever we did, the last times we've done it in August, they've been able to move that. And remember, when the agreement was in place, this was the third week of July, so they didn't have any problem with that. Right. I think it's a different issue.
We talked about the 4th, right.
The day of the 4th. The other weekends, I think, have been fine. This week, this
and it,
was
is, fine. An, it is an old agreement that was done way back when. Right. But
would it help for Todd to go forward with us having been on record as supporting this direction?
Well, I think what you have to do is you have to finalize your dates. You have to say you're going to do it, you know, what your dates are then. But that conversation needs to start now with the city about closure of Harney.
Regardless of what we do this year, next year it'll be Friday. The fourth will be Friday. The following year it will be Saturday. So we will have that issue for the next four years.
Next year is 2019. Are you meeting 2020?
Yes.
I'm
already planning for 2019.
Maybe it's now the time to have that conversation. Yeah. So I think when we were thinking about this, that was at least not something on my radar that we'd actually have the fourth fall during the fair itself. And that, you know, in terms of Harney Street, that's, I think we need to clarify that.
So who's the appropriate person to?
Spencer. To start it with.
Talk with this evening.
I mean, I can even start the conversation. I mean, I will start the conversation. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of other conversations around comments. So. Okay.
I think it would help create a bigger feeling for that day. Because right now, everything is focused on that evening event on the Bayfront.
Right.
There's nothing really for people to do.
You want during the day, so there's real advantage.
And that's our hope, is that our event will feed into the Bayfront fireworks. We don't in any way want to overlap that, or you know, we'll close at 9 o'clock like we did this past year so that people can get down in time to visit all the Bayfront stuff. So.
Right. Well, and you might kind of split the baby in half, if you will, on the 4th, which is we'll have it closed during the day for the fair, but maybe it can be temporarily reopened in the evening
for the exodus
for the city.
Well, just in terms of your planning, what you stick in the street or what you do in the street.
Part of that maybe leads into my next point is that I think we're finally at the place where we can reattract a carnival. And that may require some more real estate using Harney or something. Yeah. So I think all of those discussions need to happen. My preference, of course, would be to be able to shut it and not reopen it and use that real estate. But if that's not possible, we, of course, will work around whatever we need to do to play nice in the sandbox with the city.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
And then with are you going to talk any about the little controversy about the kids and the animals and all that?
Only from the standpoint that it's my hope to reintegrate the fair and the 4-H group. This year it was not possible because of the hour change in the fair date and the purchase of animals and breeding programs that needed to change. It's my feeling that it's the responsibility of 4-H to work with the fair board and county fair to be inclusive in that event. I think for the gratis that the fair board shows allowing 4-H to use that facility, it's our responsibility to be there and support the county fair doing that. I hope that that's the feeling of the fair board as well. That would I think that makes sense. I want to see that reintegrated. I think it's important that we do that.
Okay.
I read the notes on that, but my impression was that just because of the way things turned out this year with the change in dates and everything,
moving it up 7 weeks essentially.
Yeah, we had kind of a, I'll call it a 1 year interim thing, and now Todd will have a year to work on that and make that better, make some changes.
Right.
So, I think it's probably kind of a controversy, if you will, whatever it was, that should really go away with now that we've got some time to do a little better planning and recognize the changes. Am I mistaken about that?
Yeah, and I will point out that the only thing we lost was the animal science program. We still had all of the 4-H static there during regular fair, so it was just one portion of the fair, but an important piece. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did come up at that urban renewal public meeting. So,
mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah, that's certainly my desire to have that back together, and I'm working to make sure that happens for 2019.
Right.
So it's a little bit of a tightrope for me because as the fair manager, I don't want to be perceived as creating an edict in 4-H for the betterment of the fair. Because I'm wearing two hats, I hope that they will come to that consensus on their own and say, yeah, that's really, really for the better, for the good of both organizations, this is what we should be doing.
But it's fair to say, is it not, that this year was, again, this one-year-in-term thing, and next year there's going to be substantial changes in what...
They have lead time this year that they didn't have last year,
right.
And that lead time is what made us not be able to do it in conjunction with the fair.
Right. Okay.
I viewed that as a 1 year deviation, and with the anticipation that everything will be back together in 2019.
I guess my point is, my anticipation is it's not something we're going to have to deal with again next year because this was just an aberration.
Right, I just wanted us to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. I would love to have a statement from the Fair Board to that effect, that it's your expectation as part of the partnership between 4-H and the Fair Board that those entities work together to provide the fair show to the public that the public expects. And I think it's fair to say that from the comments that we heard, that the public expects the 4-H group to be there during fair.
I would so move that this is the wish and desire of the Fair Board to see the 4-H Animal Fair reunited with the larger fair event.
Right. I'll second that.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add to that is that it's my desire, as we look to the manifestation of our vision, that we're not only talking about 4-H children, but we're talking about all children mm-hmm. in Lincoln County, mm-hmm. and that we're looking for ways to make what we do at the Commons there to support the activities for children throughout the county.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, any further discussion on that? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's unanimous, yes.
The only thing that I would add to that is that we certainly do appreciate your willingness to work with us when things come up that are beyond our control, mm-hmm. like changing the date and the need to do that last year. Things like that come up from time to time, and you all have been very generous and gracious in allowing us to deviate when needed. So thank you for that,
certainly.
And I think it's now our responsibility to come back and make sure that the fair is supported as well.
Just as a little aside comment, with the big change we made in the dates and everything, I figured there were going to be some positives and negatives that were going to show up, and we're going to have to make some adjustments, this just being one of, I think, a number, and I fully expected that to be the case,
mm-hmm.
so I'm not terribly concerned, if you will, about this, and Todd will make the adjustments for next year to address those various issues.
Okay.
I'm good.
Thank you.
So the only other issue, I have strong feelings about the helicopter. Mm-hmm. I want my fellow board members to know that, I've talked to several people. We know from last meeting and so forth, and I look at the income, and I don't know. I want to know that we're responding to that feedback somehow by, I guess, if nothing else, not making it possible for the helicopter to go over the same houses every 10 minutes for hours.
Yeah. I don't have, Frank, a good answer to that. It obviously won't kill the fair to not have the helicopter there. You know my position that's an extraordinary experience for people in Lincoln County to have and for us to be able to provide. It is a revenue stream, although not a huge one. It's on par with a lot of the other entertainment that we do. I have mixed feelings about it as well. I would only say that I think on occasion we run the risk of the tail wagging the dog. I feel to a point like we did that with Toledo Wooden Boat Show and let them dictate our fair date change. I'm okay with that. We survived, and we showed that it, that that we can make it regardless of the date, and I'm okay doing that, again, to play nice in the sandbox. I would hate to get to the point where a few people determine what entertainment we do at the fairgrounds, whether that's loud monster trucks or the music's too loud or I don't like country music or the helicopter or the carnival rides or whatever. I just want to be sure that we make those decisions based on not a knee-jerk reaction, but truly for the good of the constituency that I think we serve, not for such a minority of vocal, outspoken people that again the tail is wagging the dog. And again, I will just reiterate, I'm good with whatever. If we tell the helicopter not to come next year, that's not going to kill me.
With respect to the ride, I'm wondering if it isn't possible to talk to the helicopter folks about the idea of and they certainly have certain restrictions with regard to flying the machine and so forth, but if it isn't possible for them, for instance, to vary their routes, you know, so that what Frank just mentioned, going over the same house every 10 minutes all
or
day
houses.
Long. Or houses.
So isn't that an issue in part of wind patterns?
For 2 years, Jim, yeah. We've tried to do that. And they've been very receptive to try to do that when they can. The thing I think that influences that more than anything is wind direction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they're landing and taking off, they need to use that wind, especially given the constraints of power lines and buildings that they have to climb out. And so I think to the point that they can deviate that, they are. I know that Frank has some text messages showing that some houses get hit by that at a rate greater than other houses do. I don't know that we can control that. I did mention to Robert, the owner of Oregon Helicopters, would it be possible if we set up a booth and you took Ryder fees at the booth and then sent them elsewhere to get on the helicopter, and he was resistant to that. He said, boy, I think part of the attraction is that people see that helicopter landing and taking off on the fairgrounds, and that creates an excitement. I don't know that he would be willing to do it if we try to put him out of sight somewhere.
I'm sure that the pilot has, you know, some certain things landing and taking off right in the immediate vicinity of the fairgrounds that are unavoidable. The wind direction, the overhead obstructions, the power lines, and the rest of it. But once they get up and are clear of the fairgrounds, varying the route, because I think we heard from some people that were a fair distance away from the fairgrounds, but nonetheless, the machine went over them on a regular basis. So I'm talking about that.
Yeah.
Yes, in the immediate vicinity of the fairgrounds, Pilot isn't going to have any choice. I mean, he's going to have to deal with his site conditions there when it comes to landing and taking off. But the rest of it...
As I said, I've mentioned that to them, and I think they've done what they can to deviate their route. I'm not being a pilot. I don't know if that means a mile out or three-quarters of a mile out that they need to set up their path. But I know that I've mentioned, can we go south for one tour and then north for one tour so that instead of going over the same route every 15 minutes, every 30 minutes, to get those people a break. And I think they've done what they can to mitigate that.
Well, I don't have a rotary license, but I have fixed wing lights. I know when it... In landing and taking off, you've got certain restrictions, and that's going to be unavoidable for them.
Anyway, I think we've beat this dog, so...
Yeah, and part of that may be a little dependent on what we have in the way of a carnival next year. The helicopter has been using the real estate that we allocated for the carnival in the past, and I'm already sort of facing that dilemma. If we do indeed get a carnival back, which is a much larger revenue stream than the helicopter, we may not have real estate for the helicopter anyway, and I may have to tell Robert, I'm sorry, but we just can't do it.
And I was thinking about that a moment ago when you mentioned the possibility we're going to get a carnival back. If we do get a carnival back, I was kind of thinking along the same lines of, are we going to have enough real estate to operate this particular ride.
Yeah.
If we give, you know, if we have a carnival and certain other things,
right.
It may be that we simply can't do it because we don't have enough real estate. Right. That helicopter requires a certain clearance, certain area.
Yeah.
Again, and maybe we don't have enough real estate.
Yeah, and I think that's a very realistic possibility, especially considering our new fair date that doesn't conflict with any other fairs in Oregon.
Yeah.
I think the chances that between our increased participation over the last couple of years and our new fair date that isn't in conflict, that we can now attract the carnival again. So the problem may remedy itself, and I think we'll know that by the January OFA conference. I have a feeling we'll know the answer to that.
Kind of keep us appraised, please.
Great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nothing from me.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much for surviving without Michelle.
Ooh, it was thank you. You'll see the staffing line there for expenses, and it cost us less than Michelle, but thank you for adding that little buffer. I would have died without you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Paul.
For the musicians and the performers.
Is it in our authority to do that? That's okay.
But the concert itself?
Surveyor's area you're talking about.
Well, it's the area we've traditionally used.
Oh.
They've had, you know, when they did the 4th of July concert, we're talking about that area.
Oh.
The only thing I might suggest, and I might want to talk a little bit, given the size of the performers, that not just the audience coming to this, because this is Beethoven's 9th, you know.
Yes.
Very popular. We might want to work with, and Roy, there you are.
I've already talked to Paul about this, and I approve the use of our parking.
Yeah, I was going to say, we might want to add and park some of that stuff, so the overflow, it's actually all the way down in front of the...
In front of the animal
We're
shelter?
We're talking about where the RMs typically park over...
No, we were talking about at the NIST.
Clear up at the administration.
We talked about that, but Paul was also wanting to use the northeast corner, north of the dog pound, correct?
Right.
The grassy area.
The area we currently have cordoned off for no vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The grassy area.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Okay.
It's very consistent with arrangements we've made with the school district. The school district allows us to use overflow parking, you know, during the fair event and other things. So it's very, this is the kind of what we've been talking about with the vision with mm-hmm. the Commons is sharing these kinds mm-hmm. of assets.
So. I would move to approve the request.
Well, I just want to, so Roy, you're good with this. You've got it worked out.
He said he was.
Yeah, yeah. It's really no different other than 4 vehicles than what we did for the last one.
Okay. More than the 4th of July.
Because the large number of musicians as well.
No, the concert is still at the PAC?
No, not this one. This one is at...
Remember, Frank, this is the 9th place. How many choral members are there?
120 plus.
Choral members. That's
plus, what do you say?
So the performance 65 is where?
At the Newport Intermediate School up on the hillside.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So you're talking in the evening, but rehearsals are 10 o'clock to 2 o'clock.
Oh.
Todd's got his hand. Let's add.
Paul also contacted me, and we do have a 4-H open house scheduled at the fairgrounds that day. But I told Paul that we can certainly make our activities happen up above and even free up the north side of the fairgrounds. But besides that, the area you're talking about at 7th and Harney on the east side, if they wanted to use the grassy area to the north of the arena, that would, we've got plenty of room to spare there too, and we can keep our activities south of there.
Mm-hmm.
So Paul's definitely done his due diligence to contact all the players.
Right. So mm-hmm. it sounds like we got it worked out.
I'm fine with it.
Did you make a motion?
Yeah, I did.
I'll second.
So I'm talking to two sites.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds good. I think.
Well, you guys can authorize the fair board.
Roy's already authorized his lot. So
the area west of Harney is a gated area, and if we can ask that the gate be unlocked,
that's what I think.
That's what.
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I think we're all in the same wavelength. All those in favor?
Aye.
All right, it's unanimous. Thank you, Paul. Okay, we're down to master plan refinement, update consultants.
Fair board members, we had our presentation to the our Newport Urban Renewal Council on July 30th. And at that point, I provided you with the information I provided to the council. And we're asking for some specific direction from the city now. You know, there's a little bit of difficulty with us trying to move forward with all the planning we're doing on this project because we don't know specifically what the city, how they will collaborate and participate with us, and we really need some more direction. It's kind of a chicken and egg issue here. I followed up that meeting, and I appreciate the folks that showed up and testified. A number of people showed up and testified in support of the project, I'm following up that meeting with some additional meetings with the staff, city staff, and we're talking about some options and some direction we can do to present to the urban renewal agency to answer those questions that I asked. What is your what's the level of participation, and in what manner would you participate in this project? We'll see if we can get those answered.
Realistically, though, and it came up that night, we're probably not going to get an answer from the city until after the first of the year, given that there's, one vacancy on the council already. At least one current council member has indicated they will not be running for re-election, and it sounded like they want
the mayor's not running.
Right, and the mayor, so that's, three people who won't, at least three people who won't be there come January, so it sounds like they want to defer that decision until January at the soonest.
Yeah, but at least they're going to give us some direction, and the staff's well aware of what they need to do to give us some direction of where we're going, and then so we can clarify for our planning purposes what is the what kind of collaboration we're going to have on this particular project. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I guess on the master plan refinement, I guess I had raised a question about the committee itself and whether there's any way we can, without a Kevin Greenwood or a Don Mann or anybody like that, your workload is pretty heavy, and I wanted to know, is there any way we can somehow get those people together? Because next time is really the last time, right?
Yes.
That'll be end of September, you said, an exact date, not the consultants will present the completed plan, and that'll be the committee's last chance for input on the plan, correct? Will they have sufficient lead time from completion of the document to the meeting that they'll have a chance to review it, offer feedback, questions?
Yes, one of the things that did come out of renewal is there were some questions that were asked that I think that they're going to try and address those questions. And Todd, I'll want to follow up with you and the consultants because they asked some questions about utilization by not just 4-H, but children's groups and various things. So we're going to contact the people that are responsible for those things to provide some additional input to the consultants so we can answer some of the questions that were raised around that particular issue that came up. We're going to be ready to go with a recommendation in September, and then it'll come to the Joint Fair Board Board of Commissioners to say, where are we going with this? What are we going to do?
Well, my concern, I guess, is that the participants in that master plan group are not all equally informed, especially when you have David Allen sitting there who has a ton of questions and should because he feels he's responsible for representing the city. So, I realize we've set this into motion and probably to call another meeting of those people would be problematical, but I wanted to bring it up in any case just to have a discussion.
Well, I noticed that actually several of the members of the Master Plan Steering Committee were at the urban renewal meeting, listening to all the input there and ready to go. So what we will do, one of the things we will do with this is make sure that the materials, including the final plan, are out to the Master Plan Committee and to the public well in advance of this meeting, more than a week in advance of the meeting. We're going to have it out there, so we'll have a date set and we'll have the materials out there so people can take the time to look at it and come back.
So could we make an effort to send sort of mark your calendar kind of reminders?
Yes. As soon as we get a date set.
Yes, and we've been involving Casey Miller. We've been doing a lot of that stuff. Contrary to what I think there's a lot of assertions we're not doing.
Right.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It is
there.
Repetitive.
It's constantly there. Yeah. So it's not as though their efforts aren't out there. There may be a little.
I would just assume we err on the side of
I agree.
Too
yeah.
much.
I agree. I agree. So we'll continue doing that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
I appreciate your input on that.
All right. County staff update.
Anything broken? Oh, how's the plumbing?
We put it off doing the work until after the car shows are completed because we're going to have to dig up some of the asphalt between the stage and the exhibit hall and reroute the sewer line. The snake is still in the line. We haven't been able to do much because we're still balancing between functions going on in there. Okay. So it looks like we're going to push that date further back until after Labor Day.
Okay.
And so nothing's fixed as of yet. Those bathrooms in the exhibit hall are still offline until we can break into that. But we don't want to create a situation where we have an open hole during an event. So other than that, everything says, well.
Okay. Anybody else? No more staff update. Okay, our next meeting is Thursday, September 13th.
Public comment.
Yes. Looks like Francis.
I'm not a comment. I'm going to be a thorn in your back.
Oh, okay. Should I turn around?
Can I just move here?
Can you hear me?
Sure.
Yeah, we can hear you.
All right, because my voice is good. I have been told by a lot of the people that are in the county that they feel left out, that they have no one representing them as far as the fair is concerned, that they would like to be on the fair board, that they would like people from their areas on the fair board so they can discuss this stuff too. And I've heard that over and over, and we used to have around 10 people on the fair board, plus the three that you have, and 10 more, and there are 17 areas to draw from. So you should be able to find someone that's involved in this and would like to be involved in this. And the more ideas you get, the better it goes anyway. And the other thing is, I think we ought to have a manager. Todd is wonderful, but he's split. So we need somebody that's on the fairgrounds answering the phone. Because what was Toledo doing with a swap meet this last weekend when it's saying Lincoln County swap meet? That should have been on the fairgrounds. Somebody missed the call on that one because that should never have been. And Toledo is just thumbing their nose at you. See, we can have a county one in our area, and I guess they had a whopper of a turnout. So there's no reason why we shouldn't be the ones that's having that swap meet. And let's see, what else did I have? Oh, the parking. You guys, I don't understand your thing with Hardy Street. What kind of an agreement do you have with the city of Newport?
Can you explain it, Wayne?
Yes, the agreement with the city of Newport is that for the fair event, we can close off Hardy Street.
Well, we should not close off Hardy Street. We should make Hardy Street a one-way street. Goes from 3rd to 7th. Parking all the way.
The agreement that Wayne's referring to was back, what, 96 or something, and we reserved the right to close Harney, or we could do what you're suggesting.
That's 100 cars.
Well, and again, the agreement was that we would retain that right in exchange for the city being able to put Harney Street through as they did to connect to 7th, as I recall. That was really the gist of it. They got the right to put Harney through the 7th. We got the right to go in during the fair, do what we needed to do with Harney. So
that piece of property, when I was involved in the fair, clear up to my ears, was parking. If I recall right, we went over the top of it and we came back down, and that was all parking in there.
Right.
So why not put it back in parking?
Okay.
Make it a one-way street. You can park on both sides. You go out 7th Street, no matter what. It's still a one-way street.
Right. I'm not going to not,
no, but
don't mean to
say,
suggest that we do this, but I think we have the right to do what you're suggesting.
And people that have contacted me, I don't know why they do that, but anyhow, they contacted me and said, well, I had to walk down the hill, or I had to walk from across on East Street around the corner, and I can't walk anymore. Yeah. So the people with that area in the school area gets a little bit full, but then they start turning them away, and then they're out there on each street walking around. And if you open that up, even if you put your other your parking on there, it's going to take the weight off of it a lot. And I think you'll have more people coming.
Okay. Todd?
I can respond to that just briefly. 2 years ago, we did try to create parking there, and we had a kiosk, and we had a 4-H group managing parking. Over the course of the 3 days, we only parked 96 vehicles there. That said, I think what Francis is saying makes sense, and I will work next year to see if we can find. I think if we do that for multiple years, people will get used to parking there, and it could become a revenue stream. So I will work to see if we can find somebody that wants to take over parking, just like they do Seafood and Wine, and offer us a percentage of the revenue, and of course they get.
Charge for it.
Yeah, we charge $5.
I wouldn't charge for that.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to be charged for anything that's within the area anyhow, so there should be free parking, whatever they come and go with as they please.
The problem becomes if I can't charge for it, I can't pay a group to manage it. And if nobody's managing it, then nobody knows that parking is available. Right now it's open and you can park.
As long as you don't have a sign there, they don't park there.
Yeah.
But parallel parking. No, that's parallel parking. But anyhow, you have to have the parking where you go in and come out.
It's open now, you can do that. There's nothing preventing people from doing that.
Right, but they're doing parallel parking now.
Okay, I'll tell you what. This tells me that this is not a simple discussion, okay?
No.
Okay, Francis?
We're not going to settle.
You agree? It's a complicated,
comment,
yes.
Which is maybe if you do parking in there, it's some kind of selective parking with regard to, I'll equate it to handicap parking or something. Maybe some selective
for each
parking,
family,
as opposed to just wide open
exhibitors,
anybody who pays a fee.
Yeah.
To assist people who, it can be a pretty long walk from some of the parking areas.
Let me work on a plan for 2018. I think there's something
on that.
We can do there.
Well, I'll throw my two cents in. Being an event supervisor, I can't see how you can do a big fair without a backstage. And that's the backstage of the fair.
It is, yeah.
Once you open it up, you've got all kinds of control issues. If it's a small fair and it'll stay right on the footprint of the fair, that's not a problem. But you start talking about a huge carnival, a 4-day event.
That's what we want.
I know, but you need to space.
Yeah.
Because before that was Harney Street, that was the fairgrounds.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. Okay, so to be continued. Did you have something else?
I did. Are we done with everything else?
Are you finished?
Like I said, I think that Todd needs a manager that's on the fairgrounds and stuff like that. Anything that is coming up or something like that, it should be put in the paper and announced so people will know that it's coming and not feel like they're being let out in the cold.
Okay.
And we got two horse shows, I understand. I was told this the other day. There's supposed to be one on the 19th, and then there's supposed to be one in September. Did they tell you about that?
I don't know. I'm not sure about the September one. I do know, and only because I haven't looked that far ahead on the calendar, we have a PEC show on the 19th.
Their gripe is that there's nobody that has a key so they can get into the arena so they can come break their horses over and practice for that show.
Not good.
And if we had somebody on the ground, whatever, all day long, there would be somebody there because he's going to have his 4-H bunch to take care of. He's got all his hands full of that. You don't have to tell me you don't either. But he's got his hands full, so somebody needs to be there. And whenever anything's supposed to be lined up, it's put in the paper as an event so that people will know it and know it all over the county, not just in Newport. because what happened with our fair this year, it was a Newport fair, and people in the outer echelons of the county didn't figure that they were invited. Right. It was more like something that would be added on for oily days. It would be an event that would be on for oily days, and it would be something to do where there isn't anything to do on oily days. Right. And that isn't what we wanted to have at all. We wanted to have something that was all over the county, and we wanted more county people to bring stuff in. And we shot them out, and that's the way they feel.
Okay.
Now, if I might have the floor for a few minutes. I came here prepared this morning to talk about some things, and to some extent, I didn't catch your name, ma'am, but I'm almost going to kind of sing your song.
Mm-hmm.
It goes like this.
Francis. Fogarty.
Fogarty, I'm pleased to meet you. Without completely rehashing the history, you'll all recall that about 7 years ago, the entire fair board resigned.
9 years ago, actually.
9 years ago. Has it been that long?
Yep.
My God, time flies
yep.
when you're having fun. And the three of us were appointed as an interim fair board, supposedly for 1 year, maybe
mm-hmm.
two, to carry mm-hmm. through. And the idea, and I think it came out of the Blue Ribbon Committee that Frank chaired, was that we would just serve as in an interim capacity, and that a permanent fair board would subsequently be appointed and so forth to do all of the things that we do. And it's been 9 years.
Mm-hmm. 2009.
Mm-hmm. I think that things are now at a point, if you will, a decision point or a break point,
mm-hmm.
where it's time to fundamentally make that kind of change.
Hear, hear.
And so what that means... my thoughts, if you will, or my suggestion is going to be along these lines. One is that the permanent fair board needs to be 5 as opposed to 3. It might be 7, but 3, I believe, is too few. And if it is expanded to 5 or even to 7, then we can bring people in geographically from the other areas of the county and address Francis's concern about people from other areas being heard. Again, we were just appointed mm-hmm. as an interim to carry through mm-hmm. and keep us legal and all the rest of it. So if we go to 5 or even 7, that can be done.
Related to that, could I interrupt you, Jim? I don't mean to, but Mr. Belmont, state statute, doesn't it say minimum of 3, yes. maximum of 7 on a fair board? Although
I'm
we could
sure the maximum of 7.
I thought that was in there, but
minimum is 3. I know that.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, one of the reasons for going to 5 is that, like, if I come into the commissioner's office and bump into Commissioner Hall,
technically
we're a quorum.
Yeah.
That really should, that presents some appearance
uh-huh.
problems, if nothing else.
Yep.
But if
yep.
we have 5 or 7,
yep.
then those types of occurrences don't happen.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we can get better geographical representation.
Exactly.
Francis suggests.
Geographical representative places. There's 17 little cities around the corner mm-hmm. that is throughout
right.
our county. So you got to
find
something for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that given where we're at with the commons and the project and the decision-making process and everything, we're at that kind of break point or opportune point to make a change to this permanent fair board as was originally mm-hmm. suggested. My thought is that, and I haven't set a date, but sometime here towards the end of the year, I will resign from the fair board. What will happen then is some person will be appointed to take my place, and the board of commissioners might at that point either just appoint a single person or even go to the 5. With the idea that Commissioner Hall and Frank will continue for a while, so that whether it's 1, 2, or 3, whatever the Board of Commissioners decides mm-hmm. appointed to take my place, there'll be some opportunity for the two of you to pass on institutional memory and
mm-hmm.
how we do things
mm-hmm.
and so forth, and we'll be able to make this transition. We won't be in the situation we were in 9 years ago where the three of us came in cold,
mm-hmm.
not knowing or understanding anything about what was going on. So this will provide an opportunity to make that transition. Maybe to start with, they just appoint 1, and then in a couple or a year, whatever it is, appoint 2 additional to get to the 5 or whatever it is. But I think it's important that the two of you stay for a while to provide this transition, this institutional memory.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can move again to what was originally intended, a true fair board,
mm-hmm.
5 members, and so forth. So again, what my thought is, and my intention at least at the current time is, sometime here within the next, let's say by the end of the year, I'll resign, you'll get a new member, you'll start the transition, and we can do what we intended to do, if you will, 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that basically is my comment. Yeah.
Could I respond and just thought, I like that direction very much. My thought would be, you know, when the time comes, if you can give us a few weeks' notice of an official date once you're ready to set it, that we do a good all-out appeal for members, for applications. You know, it's ultimately up to the full three-member Board of Commissioners to make the appointment, but at the very least appoint you. Your replacement, and I would strongly favor at least going to five, you know, at that point. And if there's, you know, five good new candidates, consider bringing them all on, because geographic and other interests, you know, I think, you know, that the board does need to fulfill that original vision that, you know, what the Fair Board used to be and what was envisioned in the Blue Ribbon Report.
With all due respect, I don't want the Fair Board to be what it used to be.
Well, better than
you know
it
what
used
I mean.
To be.
I think we need to fulfill the vision of the Blue Ribbon Committee and have a true Fair Board, geographical representation, as Francis has suggested, and so forth, and move to people who, for one reason or another, have a very strong interest in the grounds and the thing. Remember that, again, I was pointed at this simply because I was a public works director and knew something about the grounds.
And you retired and we didn't let you leave.
And so forth. And I retired 4 years ago, but I'm still here.
Yep.
But I think it's time to make that transition. I think we're at the proper break point now to start doing that. We're talking about, you know, we'll make the decision about whether or not to proceed with the commons, whatever that is, the recommendations coming out of the consultant. I think that's a golden opportunity then, because then the new people will be here for the development of the, assuming that we go ahead with it and the Board of Commissioners goes ahead with it, for the transition into the commons. It doesn't make any sense for me to stay here while we go through that process and then leave. Somebody who's going to be here on a more long-term basis needs to be here to go through that transition to the commons and the project we're talking about, assuming we go ahead.
Francis, go ahead.
You get one commissioner, and you get the 4-H agent are free of charge. And you're automatically on. You have one commissioner that keeps track of everything, and you have, they do their 4-H, because the 4-H is one of the main things in your fair is your 4-H. So they are, those are the two automatic ones that are in there, and then the rest of you have to pick off for the public.
I do disagree with you about this. I think that the 4-H needs to participate as Todd has, but I do think one of the commissioners needs to be on the Fair Board for a couple of reasons. One is to provide a liaison between the Fair Board and the Board of Commissioners. So my five would include a commissioner, whether it's Commissioner Hall or whatever, and then four geographical represented people, or if you go to seven, six geographical represented people. But I do think it is important to keep a commissioner on the Fair Board to provide this conduit from the Fair Board to the Board of Commissioners.
Yeah, I like that idea as well, and I believe it's been a long time since I looked at the statute, but I believe it says one and only one county commissioner can be on a Fair Board. We'll see what the new configuration of the BOC is come January. You know, we've got a commissioner coming in with extension experience. If she's interested, you know, I'd be certainly willing to transition. If not, I have enjoyed this work, and as long as my colleagues want me to continue in the role, I am happy to. So,
well, Commissioner Hall, and if we have two commissioners on the Fair Board, now we have the same problem that
it's
of us
quorum.
Have.
Yeah, so I think that's, so, you know, so there, it's not practical. But
one is the only practical number.
Yeah, I agree.
So I assume that your logic, if the 4-H person should not be on the Fair Board, then the Commons Manager should not be on the Fair Board.
Correct.
Correct.
Right.
Those are, if you will, staff people, or right. maybe
liaisons, ex officio, whatever. Yeah.
But they're not voting members right. of the fair board. The fair board, the voting members of the fair board will be one commissioner plus either four or six, depending upon what the board of commissioners, mm-hmm. county commissioners yeah. decide.
Yeah.
And then people like Todd, and for that matter, Roy as the public works director, and so forth, would be, if you will, by virtue of their position, ex officio members. Mm-hmm. They would not be voting members, mm-hmm. but they would be ex right. officio members.
Yep.
Well, it looks like Francis and Jim are both on the same wavelength today.
I don't know how come yeah. we're on the same wavelength today, Francis, yeah. but...
Todd, did you have something?
I only wanted to comment that I'm more comfortable with these roles being advisory rather than voting.
Mm-hmm.
With my use of the fairgrounds, it would be problematic for me to be a voting member of the fair board because I would be perceived as trying to ramrod through things that are for the benefit of my organization. So I think it's much cleaner if I am just simply advisory to the board, not a member of the board.
And again, that's why I suggest you be ex officio. You would not be a voting member.
Yep.
Okay. I'm going to limit the following conversation to the board.
Okay.
And that is, I think that... it would be useful if at our next meeting you could develop a timeline considering all of the things that are going to take place over the next 6 months that have to be factored in
mm-hmm.
to Jim's recommendation.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if we can make that a consensus, that
yeah. And could you please, Wayne, pull up the statute about fair board composition, share it with us, share it with the full BOC so they're aware of the parameters?
My intention would be, and the reason I haven't given you a specific date mm-hmm. is, I think we got our decision point coming up within a few months about whether or not to proceed with the project.
Mm-hmm.
I've been here through that process,
yep.
and so I would stay,
that's
assuming
a lot
it comes
point.
Up
that's
within the next yep. few months, and participate in that decision. But then the new fair board, quote unquote, mm-hmm. would take over and do the follow through mm-hmm. with the project. Again, I think that's the logical breakpoint to make this change.
Mm-hmm.
It'll well, take you 3 months to find somebody that really is interested in what you're doing and wants to move their area into the fairground. I mean, it'll take you 3 months to even get somebody that wants to put their 1 foot forward so they can put the second foot forward.
Well, we have a lot of moving pieces, so
mm-hmm.
let Wayne, and I'm sure you'll talk to the commissioners, yes. we've got so many different things.
Yeah, it's complex.
Interlocking
it's
pieces that...
I appreciate it.
We'll get things moving.
All things that we were going to be looking yep. at anyway.
Okay, very good. I think we're done, are we?
Well, unless there's any more public comment, I'm sorry.
Any more public comment?
Did you have
okay.
That's great.
Would you like to introduce yourself?
Oh. Well, actually, I'm representing kind of the Quilt Guild.
Oh, okay.
Because we heard that, so it's probably you who I need to talk to, and I wasn't sure where to start, so I just came to talk.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Very good. All right, very good. Anything else? All right, we're adjourned.
Okay.